Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad that you've decided to join us today. I'm Jonathan. Got my buddy Steven here. So how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, the years are clipping along. I mean, we're just, you know, weeks away from my son graduating from high school.
So my goodness.
Everything has been very deja vu this year because, you know, last year, Haley graduated and she's in college now.
Yes.
And then, you know, they're only 15 months apart. So this year, Ethan's I felt like every single moment of his senior year was, didn't we just do this? Like, because we're doing all the same stuff, all the senior stuff, all the getting ready for college stuff, all that. I'm just going, where is the time going? And then all I got to do is blink two more times and Megan will be out of high school.
I want to talk to you about where he's going and all that stuff after we get off here.
I'm entering a whole new phase of life and you're going to have to coach me through it.
I get up this morning.
Yeah, I want to hear.
I get up this morning. I don't know. Some people know this about me, but I feel like God speaks to me, okay? Just with thoughts. I mean, I don't hear a voice or anything. You know, he and I don't sit around drink coffee, but it's like I will flood with these thoughts and I'll run to my whiteboard and I'll write them as fast as I can. It's in the middle of the night. Then I'll go back to bed. Because if I don't write them down, they're gone in the morning. I can't remember what they were. So I get up this morning, it was about 5 o'clock, and I just start writing these thoughts down. I thought, I guess this is the podcast. Because what am I supposed to do with all these thoughts?
So we're going to find out if they make any sense right?
We're going to find out. That's exactly right. That's perfect. And I appreciate the faith you have in me because he's like turning me loose, saying go.
That's right. Just turn on the microphones and here we go.
So I don't know how, I think everybody has a way they hear from God. Mm-hmm. You know, something happens or you just sense his presence or you're in worship. And so I think, how do you hear from God?
I think it's a combination. A lot of times it's this combination between wherever he's been taking me in the word.
Yeah.
And then some other people that I have in my life,
sure,
that are brothers of accountability and things like that. And then, of course, I just believe sometimes in my times of prayer, he's just leading me to certain places. But for me, it's always come as like several things converging for a while. I mean, there's been times where I feel like I've heard a pretty profound, you know, whisper, like a very specific thing that he wants to say to me. But then it seems like a lot of it happens more in terms of like, you know what, for the last 3 weeks, this particular theme, just this drumbeat getting louder and louder and louder, you know.
That's good. So my verse is setting captives free, right? And that's my prayers. I could do things to help people that are stuck get unstuck, right? So here they are.
Okay.
What I got this morning, hot off the press, and really, it's just a collection of things that I'm pulling together that I've heard. They're not some new, brand new insight. It just seems to be a flow of things that I'm supposed to speak. So here goes.
Mm-hmm.
What you do makes sense to you. Mm. Whenever you see someone, you should think this thought. I wonder how it makes sense to you to do that. Whether you're talking too much or not talking at all, right? Or we talked about being negative, right? Some people are somebody are so spiritual, so everything's spiritual. It's like, I'm not sure why you do that, but it makes sense to you to do that. Mm-hmm. Because we're very patterned people, right?
Yeah.
People like our radio shows.
This is
because you talk like you and I talk like me, and there's some comfort in that. They don't want us to be somebody else.
Right.
They keep wanting to kind of develop with us.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Where were
you going? One of the things that I think is interesting about that thought is when it comes to addiction.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's the hard thing. I know for years I've talked to wives or to, you know, friends of people who have got, you know, a full-blown sexual addiction. And so many times, you know, we know that addiction by its very nature is just irrational. It doesn't help a person's life. It doesn't bring value. You know, it doesn't enhance their life. So there's a lot of irrationality in the sense of
and
the
damage
of the effects of addiction. Yeah. And a lot of times what the loved one will do is they're bringing this totally rational grid and trying to figure out addiction. What I like about what you're saying here is, okay, my rational grid can't explain why they're doing what they're doing. But you know what? Somehow in their own head,
that's right,
it's making sense
to them.
That's
exactly right. You spot on. And if you could map their life out in the whole story, the ending would fit the middle or the beginning or somewhere. Because it doesn't make sense to you. But it's so much easier to approach life that way. You're doing this because you need to do this. And if you lie, you're lying because you need to lie. I don't get it, but you need to lie for some reason. Or steal or cheat, whatever, any whatever it is. Then it takes the pressure off me going, well, stop it or don't. Or if you start with a kind of a curious position, I think it's the greatest position to start from because it's a piece of information that fits with a bunch of other pieces of information. And if you want to know me, you can know me.
I think what's important also about understanding that particular statement is this is not bringing a moral framework into
that's
it.
That's right.
Right?
No,
listen, what may make sense to you is it's diabolical, it's damaging, it's sinful, what, right? Mm-hmm. But what I hear you saying is in order to be able to maybe connect with that person, can I pause for a minute and say, even though it is totally outside the scope of my moral framework or my rational thinking or my experience, what you're doing somehow makes sense in your mind.
That's right.
So I think it builds a bridge to where I'm not judging you. I'm not trying to fix you. I'm just saying in my own head, I'm saying something in your mind is making sense of all these things that you're doing, right?
Right. Yes. Yes. And the point is it makes us restful instead of angry.
Mm.
I have to make you stop that or I have to try to understand you and figure out How come this fits? How come you repeat the same pattern? How come you get to the same place every time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's something to this. So then Eldred said this line. He said, there is a way things work. I love that line because that's true of God and that's true of you. It's true of me.
Yeah.
It's true of, you know, it's the way God designed nature. There's a way that things work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that because those two go together, right?
Yeah, because
there is a way.
Because the thing is that, take the addict again, right? Somebody that's in an addiction. What may make sense in their mind is not the way things work, right?
In a healthy way things work.
What I mean is like, okay, what they're continuing to do in their addiction, in a very real sense, is killing them.
Right.
So they're actually going against the way things work.
That's right.
But it makes sense in their mind.
Yep. That's right.
So, you
that's
know?
Exactly right. And that's how you can put them together, right?
Yeah.
But there is a, you know, if there's a God and he created and there's order, there is a way that things work.
Yeah.
And when you're running them the right way, you have peace and rest and joy.
And here, the way I think you can put those two together is that's what brings peace to me, right? In the sense that if I'm dealing with somebody who's an addict or dealing with somebody who's totally out of control or just very or just fundamentally different from me, if I recognize whatever however they're living, it makes sense in their mind, but at the same time there is fundamentally, because we have a God of order, a way things work, you know what, I can have total peace in my being no matter how out of control your life may be. And it doesn't mean that I got to walk away from you. It doesn't mean I need to be afraid of you.
Or fix you or do anything.
Exactly. It just means I can walk alongside and I don't have to, I also don't have to own.
No, that's right.
And be responsible for your decisions.
That's right. So my third point is fear drives most of our bad behaviors.
Hmm.
We don't understand fear very well, but it drives most of us. Right? When we're scared.
That's a good point.
When we're angry, it's because we're disappointed and it's not working right. I'm not getting what I want. I'm afraid it's not going to work right. Most people don't realize that fear seems to be driving most of everything, whether greed or lust or whatever it is. You know, if we're walking in fear, we're going to see bad outcomes.
Yeah. It makes me think now of like the most recent epidemic of fear, which is what they call FOMO, fear of missing out.
Oh, okay.
And they said it's been kind of a result of just the whole social media frenzy.
Yep.
Where everybody sees everybody else's lives, just so, at least the parts they're willing to put on social media, so exciting and so doing this and all that. And it creates this sense of fear. I'm missing out if I don't go do this. And like you said, fear.
So there is a way things work. I wonder why you're doing it, because it makes sense to you. And if you realize fear is the fuel of most of the odd behaviors, right? I'm afraid to speak, so I won't speak. Mm-hmm. I never stop talking. Because I want to make sure you know I'm here, and, right? Or whatever it is, ask yourself, I wonder if fear's driving that.
That's good.
Because fear drives most bad behavior.
Yeah.
So my fourth point, and you'll have to put them together yourself, because I'm not sure how well they perfectly weave together. But
well, I feel like they're all parts of a puzzle.
Exactly.
They might not be one-to-one. You know.
That's it. And we don't practice sadness very well.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to do a better job of grieving.
Yeah.
Being sad. Because there's grief everywhere. There's sadness everywhere. And if we try to live above it and never be sad, or when you bring sadness, can I join you in your sadness? And can we practice oneness over the sadness?
This may fit with that one too, because as soon as you said that, I thought, you know, another thing, even as Christians, that we don't do too well, at least not in the Western world, is we don't practice, we don't know how to suffer well. And I think those two kind of go together, sadness and suffering.
Yes.
Because we've been conditioned to think all pain is bad, all hurt, you know, all struggle is negative. Instead of realizing maybe there's a value to grief with sadness.
Absolutely.
There's a value to perseverance when you're suffering,
yes,
you know, but
yes,
we don't like that. We don't do that well.
And in the Jewish culture, they say something like, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but we are here to exercise the discipline of waiting.
Mm.
Our mission is to practice the discipline of waiting for the Messiah. He didn't come. That's right. He didn't come here. But we're going to wait today. We're going to wait today. We're going to, that, you know, there's, they struggle, but that's their mission, is to practice waiting very well. Okay. I don't know how we got off, but the whole idea of fear drives things, and we don't practice sadness. We want to be happy. We want to run away. We want to feel good. So get some chemicals and smoke something, take some, do something, because I don't want to be sad. It's like, no, just be sad. It's just fine. It's part of how things work. So I've been trying to build an emotional model and figure out how can we build a model of how things work and help people understand themselves and see the patterns that make sense. It is so difficult because when I'm talking to you about the model that I'm putting together, you're going to use a label that somebody gave you. And you're going to bring your label and try to use that. Then you're going to have an idea that you read from a different author's book, and you're going to bring his idea over here. Then you're going to have a thought that a friend told you. Then you're going to bring that. And it's like we're cobbling together. You heard a podcast and they said something. It's how does life work, and how can we understand ourselves, and can we really know ourselves? You know, you can't understand emotions. People with emotions are crazy. They're out of control. Emotion. No, we serve the God of order. Even our emotions make sense. But it's so difficult because everybody has a piece of training from here and a piece of label from there and a part of it, and we're trying to cram them into one, right? It's hard to talk about emotions because everybody's showing up with a different bag of labels, titles, insights.
And that's why I think it's important that we remember that the whole journey of life is about a growth mission, right?
Yes.
Because I think sometimes, you know, you're talking about kind of culling from all these different places. What tends to happen? Somebody creates a model, right? Somebody puts something together, and then you have, you know, a certain amount of people that just flock to it and eat it up.
Right.
And it's like, this is great. But you know what? There's always people that won't. Like, I'll give you an example.
Or that model won't fit everything either.
Yeah.
Right.
So I may be the only guy on the planet. I don't think I am, because I've talked to many men who share my sentiment. Love John Eldridge to death. Wild at heart, did not connect with me at all. Mm. And you know what I've found? There's a lot of men that Wild at Heart did not connect with. Mm. You know why? Because he created this model that sort of made it seem, now I don't believe this is actually what John's intent was, but sort of made it seem like a real man has to like be bare chested in the woods and like killing a bear. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's not me. So the idea of kind of this model, or this idea of like, man, what is it? What is in the heart of every man? Well, it's like, what in my heart? You know what I mean? So there were certain things that, but guess what? Throngs of guys did go to that. And so what I guess I'm saying is, if we remember we're on a growth mission, we recognize it's not about saying this model's right, this model's wrong. It's like, how can we continue to grow and realize the complexity of our emotional system as a human being, right?
But you have to have a model that makes sense to you and works for you, right?
You do need things to help you understand that. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And the model would be, do you practice rest? Do you find peace and joy? I mean, the important piece is what the Bible tells us our life is supposed to look like, right? How do you practice things that have that outcome? And what do you do? And in my model, how do you manage your fears? And do you do good grieving when the sadness comes, right? And are you using good emotional language and awareness? Are you practicing oneness, right? That's the whole point. Is I'm trying to build a model and help people understand it. But my point is, it's complicated, because there's so many models and they're all trying to cobble together all these pieces. That's, and it's just the point, okay? If these don't go any further than just make a point, okay, that was it. So my next thought is, we'll even borrow from our spiritual system when we don't know what else to say. Mm. Well, you know, the devil, you know, the devil's doing that, don't you?
Right.
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm tired. I don't want to do it. Well, you know, the devil. It's like, okay, the devil is like a lion roaring about trying to devour people, right? Well, the devil's in one place. He's one being, and he's trying to destroy you, okay? But people will say, every thought in your head. See, in my language, every fear is the devil. It's like, no, it's a fear. It's a devil. It's like, so we'll go to spiritual camp and get their words, and we'll bring them over here. But to me, it's like lame.
I guess what I hear you saying is you can't take one model or one piece and make it fit every situation, right?
Well, that's what we want to do spiritually. We want to say everything is. It's like, why do you give us a body? Why do we have emotion? Why is he emotional? He got angry, right?
Yeah.
He grieved. He's emotional. We're emotional. We have bodies. Then why would, why, you know, some people, and I contend they're lost. They don't know what to say. I would say fear. They go, the devil. It's the devil. Your thoughts are the devil. And I think to myself, no, there's a story in your past that made you scared and your fears coming up. Why are you attributing that to the devil? Mm-hmm. Right? Because I do believe there's a devil and he wants to devour you.
Absolutely.
But I don't think he shows up every thought, he's sitting around, he's in your brain, he's tweaking your brain and making things happen. I don't think that.
Yeah.
I think fears happen and stories happen and we carry a body that remembers.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's part of my model. So can you understand emotions? Yes, you got to understand yours, right? But then you get married, and what happens? She has an emotional system.
That's nothing like yours.
And you have an emotional system. Now the problem we had earlier, she has language from books that she read.
Right.
And her parents talked a certain way.
And she's got a different story. Different story.
And we're trying to figure out, how do these two emotional systems work together, because the call is to oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so wise, he goes, I'll give you a lifetime to work on it, okay? It's not going to be easy. But try to get your models to work together so that you can arrive at peace and rest and joy and contentment and worship and all the good things we're supposed to be about. So here's the dilemma. We cobbled our own emotional systems together when we were children. And we're running them in adult bodies. Do you understand? If you set up your program when you were 8 or 9 or 10, and now you're 30 or 38, and you're still doing the same stuff as that you set up in 8, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And that's what we see a lot at the workshops, right? Is guys that got stunted along the way because it was what worked for survival and coping at 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yes.
And then it's kind of like, hey, this worked. So... Why change it? Right.
That's right. Yeah. I don't talk. If you don't talk, you don't get in trouble at home. Then you get married and you don't talk.
Yeah.
You're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. Right. Because that model you set up as survival and coping as a child is not going to be a good mature adult model.
Right. 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 Exactly.
Or you were the funny boy in the household growing up. You made everybody laugh. Ah, everything was funny. And then you get married and your wife thinks you're so cute and you're funny. And she goes, knock it off. I want the man to show up now to let the funny boy sit down and bring the man out. And you go, what are you talking about? I got another one joke for you. I got another one. What are you talking about? You're scaring me. Bring the mature seasoned man out. Don't talk like that to me. What do you, right? That boy program is going to be a problem in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it worked in our past really well. So what we cobble together from fears in childhood, it looks like survival in adulthood. Mm. Have you noticed many men are surviving in life? They're just running models that don't work, and it looks like they're hanging on and surviving. And even we talked in a program about negative talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's their program, and they're trying to do it in their marriage, and they think it's going to have a good ending, a happy ending, and she's just getting tired of your old program.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking this is complicated, you know? I think it is hard to form a model around this. I do think one of the reasons that we get stuck in our childhood models a lot of times is because of their simplicity, right?
Yes.
So oh, like you were just mentioning, like, okay, what have I learned as a child? If I don't talk, I get in less trouble.
Yes, that's right.
It's simple.
Yes.
The problem is what I'm hearing you say is, the complexity of our emotional systems cannot continue to operate through such simplistic models.
As we grow up, right? And we invite
if we're going to mature, right? If we're going to mature. And so I think part of this is, okay, just to release the shame off of everybody that's feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm an 8-year-old emotionally, is just recognize, okay, that may be where you are right now. But it doesn't mean that there can't be growth there, right? It doesn't mean that you can't grow up emotionally.
That's why we talk about this stuff, is for hope. I hope every time you hear me talking, it's not about shame or blame or putting you in a box. It's if you can see. I have this premise that you want to live a better life, right? That we all want to be fully operational as God designed us to be.
Yeah, the abundant life that Jesus offers.
That's right. Not the survival life that the kid started.
Yeah.
Right? So sexual addiction makes sense if you see it as an escaping solution.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how can you act like that? Well, if you see a broken system that's in such pain and self-hatred and no rest and peace, and then I get married and you tell me I'm immature and stupid and dumb and lazy, and I torture me and you torture me, and I'm not successful at work, or even if I am, I can be so successful they use me up, but there's still no rest. So everything complicates the whole idea that I'm struggling, that I need relief, release, so that then I want to go to escape to a fantasy. So porn takes me away.
Which goes back to that statement, what you do makes sense to you.
Yes.
Right. All of those pieces that come together, when it comes to the idea that sexual addiction is used as an escape, you realize, oh, all of that history, again, in that person's mind, it then makes sense to them that they would go seek relief.
And that's a wonderful starting point to understand how What does that solution say about you and what you need and your maturity level, right? And your ability to do hard things and to be kind to yourself and to love yourself. That's what these guys that come to Gateway Weekend don't know, mm-hmm. how to be kind, to love themselves, to be at peace. They don't know how to vent out their pain in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So they escape.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking counseling's expensive, but it's cheap if someone can help you understand yourself.
Yeah.
And you can go 30 or 40 years in pain, or you can spend some money and get some understanding about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've always battled with, I have to charge people and I'm not cheap but living in pain is not a great deal either.
Yeah.
You want to live 30 or 40 years in pain? That's no good.
Yeah, I look, and we even have people that give us that objection about the weekend, the workshop weekend, you know, because mm-hmm. it's not cheap. But I have never seen a person regret making an investment that improves their relationships. I mean, if you think about it,
themselves
and their relationships.
That's right.
Because the idea here is, and in fact, what you would hear from people over time, I know for me in my own life, I realized over years of recovery and then working on my marriage and other relationships, I actually realized, you know what's the lowest cost that I've had to invest? Money. When you compare the cost of sacrifice, humility, repentance, the time of investing in what does it take to build character.
Yeah.
Those costs are actually way higher than a few bucks.
Keeping yourself torn up and all that.
The way I put it is like, if you had the choice between giving money to an organization or actually having to go serve with your time and your energy and your physical body, and have most people say, oh, it's way easier to give money.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So what I hear you saying is, you know what, in comparison to what the return could be and the
absolutely.
Things that could, it's way cheaper to give the money and say, I'm going to do the work that's involved. Because I think when you do begin to understand your emotional system, the benefits are far reaching.
And that's what I'm saying. Do you want to run a broken emotional system for 50 years? Or you want to spend a little money and get the model working right so mm-hmm. that, because there is a way that things work.
Yeah.
We do serve a God of order. Emotions are knowable too, you know? And so will you have a coachable spirit? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Or will you be stubborn? Because that's it in life. Either you submit or you defy. You shake your fist at heaven and say, my way, or you say, sorry, brokenhearted, your way, mm-hmm. right? Will you be coachable? Because God, when you pray for wisdom, I pray for wisdom every day. Pray for wisdom every day. He will show you things that are unbelievable because you asked him to show them to you. And you were looking for him and he showed them to you. And you caught him because you asked for wisdom. So life is about one thing. This is my conclusion. It's about oneness. Why do we want to work on our emotions? So we can be what he made us to be, so we can worship him and walk with him. And we can walk with each other, our brothers, and we can walk with our wives and our children, mm-hmm. and we can practice oneness everywhere we go.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I'm glad you have these sort of like mind dumps every now and then, you know, that I'm glad you got a whiteboard in your room at home. And so, folks, we hope this has been beneficial to you as well, realizing that there's a lot of growth that we all can be going on in terms of understanding our emotional systems and just the benefit that has to our relationships with God, with others. If you're still trying to unpack and explore this more, please reach out to us. We want to help you along your journey. And we're always grateful that you're with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Take care.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.